This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bears. We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Trista Crick here on The Score, a little BBL Drizzy. We have got a special treat here. We talked a little Bears, and now we talk with Chicago legend Lawrence Holmes, host of Bernstein and Holmes show from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 670 The Score. Lawrence joins us on The Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports, Illinois. Loho, my main man, did you love the music?
I mean, I would have chosen something different for me, and now people are going to think that I was out here getting a BBL. And I got enough cakes for everybody. I don't need no BBL.
You just look like you have a BBL. That's what it is. You don't. For anybody who's listening who doesn't know what a BBL is, it's a Brazilian butt lift. So I don't know if that's ever been said. I don't think it's ever been said, those words, on 670 The Score. But I saw Lawrence is coming on, the song that just immediately, like God coming from God, was like, play BBL Drizzy, play it. He will get the mood going.
I was joking about that on the air a couple weeks ago, so it's definitely fitting. It's all good. How are you, homie?
I'm good. Everything's good. We had somebody call in the middle of the show, in the middle of a segment about the Bears to talk about the Bulls. People are still fired up about the Bulls take, so that was a derailment, but we're solid. So earlier on, I was talking about, I think there's just a ton of unduly expectations on Caleb Williams and this team, because fair or not, like, this is probably the first transcendent quarterback that the Bears legit have had since maybe even the 1950s. And I don't think expectations should even be a part of this. Just let Caleb Williams develop. For you, as someone who has multi-generational trauma as a Chicago sports fan, where are you at with that? Like, what does a good season look like to you for the Bears this year?
Well, my hope is that all the confidence that we've seen from Caleb Williams throughout this whole process, I hope that it's real, because I think he's going to need to lean on that when things get tough. The thing is, the C.J. Stroud may have messed the game up for a lot of quarterbacks because of the jump that he took. His first couple starts were a little rocky, and then he was one of the more impressive quarterbacks in the league. It's not – when you look at it statistically – that doesn't happen a lot for rookie quarterbacks. There's usually a struggle. There's an adjustment period. Now, it would be great if there isn't as steep of a learning curve as what historically has been the case in the NFL for Caleb Williams. And there are a lot of people who think that when you look at his profile as a player, if any quarterback in this year's draft, for sure, it was going to make that jump, it could probably be him. I also think that the situation that he's put in is one of the better situations for high first round picks, and definitely one of one. He has three receivers that people are excited about. I mean, we don't know what Roma Dunze is going to do, but you like what the profile suggests that he might do. So for me, I've been trying to temper people's expectation, just because the history says it might take a while. Now, what you could see is the first quarter of the games, he's trying to get his footing, and then he starts to really get it when you get to the second half of the season and has command of it. I personally love that he got a head start, that they were in contact with his personal quarterback coach, and at least the Bears are doing the smart thing by trying to prepare him. They didn't play any games in the draft process. They knew who their guy was going to be, and they took advantage of the fact that they had the number one pick and could choose their own destiny instead of having to wait to see what other teams did.
So for you then, I guess it sounds like expectations or a good season isn't really just about wins. It's like how he looks with the eyeball test, how he stands up to scrutiny, what development continues to come along the way, game to game. Is there anything that you have in terms of like something tangible that we can like put our stamp on to say, like, if this happens, good season, if this happens, bad season?
You know what's wild, Trista, is like he could have, by NFL standards, like a what people would go, oh, that was an okay season. And that okay season could end up being one of the greatest in Bears history. That's how bad the quarterback position has been for the Bears. Like last year, Justin Fields had said, or someone had brought up the idea of like a 4,000-yard passing season. I'm like, that's really aggressive. I think similarly, even though the profile suggested Caleb Williams is probably a little farther along in the passing game, I think if you want to nail me down to numbers, I would say that if he's anywhere around 3,000 yards, you're off to a really good start. Like that to me is something that we don't ordinarily see with Bears quarterbacks. It's more about the fit and the feel, though. Does he look comfortable in the pocket and maybe even outside of the pocket? Does he look like he has command of what the offense is? The problem that the Bears run into is they've been doing the project of, is the quarterback developing? And I think that we're now in a place where Bears fans are tired of just judging a season by the development arc of a quarterback, that there needs to be some winning that goes along the way here. So how good is the rest of the team, and is he enhancing that? If this team is around 9-8, if they're a better than or around 500 team, and people see that he's starting to get it, they'll give him grace. But there does need to be some winning. Bears fans have sacrificed for a really long time, and they've been okay with, all right, this is the year where Justin Fields is supposed to take a step. This is the year that Mitch Trubisky is supposed to take a step. With Caleb Williams, it's part of the reason that, like, when the draft conversation is so hyped up that you have to take a step back and you have to say to people, realize that this is a rookie. Realize that what happened with Stroud is outlier type stuff. Make sure that your expectations are not outsized just because of having the one of one as your draft pick. And so people are already hyped. And I think the NFL and the Bears play a role in that hype machine. Now, if it happens and Caleb Williams isn't as good as quickly, they're going to reverse it and blame it on us. But the truth is that the Bears put out any sort of video that they put out of Caleb Williams, any sort of video that the NFL puts out on Caleb Williams, Bears fans react like they are hungry. So they know that they're feeding the beast to a certain extent. But you have to understand that you put out a video of him rolling out in 7-on-7 and making a throw down the sidelines to Rome Odunze and be like, oh, we could get used to this. Like, that was literally what the Bears social media team put out in one of their posts. That means that the fans are going to jump on that and be like, yeah, this is our guy. He looks good. Everyone looks good in 7-on-7s for the most part. Let's see what happens when you are running for your life. And that's going to be a part of the rookie season for him, I expect.
Yeah, passing yards for Caleb Williams.
What's the prop?
Yeah, 3,375.5 yards. So essentially 3,376. And I think that's kind of a bonkers number for a rookie, and he's obviously got the shortest odds to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, which is fine. But 3,400 yards?
Yeah, and 3,400 yards would put him like third or fourth in the history of the Bears franchise. That's what I'm saying. Like, he could have a year where it isn't, you know, him putting up the numbers that Jordan Love put up in Green Bay, and it would be historically good by the standards of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's like kind of tough for me is that you looked at Justin Fields, and I think everybody who had a good sense about them knew that Justin Fields probably wasn't on the same level, transcendent hype-wise, as Caleb or Joe Burrow, or, I mean, like that level, right? Like Trevor Lawrence, because you didn't get that from Josh Allen. You didn't get that from Pat Mahomes. But, like, Caleb has much more, I think, upside than Justin Fields or Mitch Trubisky. So I'm just a little curious why what we've been peddled by the Bears in general for other non-transcendent quarterbacks should be penalizing Caleb Williams.
I mean, there's a lot of stress that comes with the fact that he's going to be the number one pick, the fact that he's the Heisman Trophy winner, the fact that you look at the hype train with him, that people have known he's going to be the number one pick for the last 2 years. And I think that there is a level of expectation. The fact that people are like you just said, he's better than Mitch. He's better than Justin Fields. Well, we haven't seen that proven yet at the NFL level, but there's an expectation, and people often will just think different is better regardless of who the player is. I just want to see I think that what the Bears have done to this point has been on par. Like, that's how you treat a number one draft pick. That's the way that it's supposed to go. And there's going to be learning curves. So check this out. I looked this up while we were talking. If he hits the over, okay? I was like dead on with this. I'm very impressed with myself, Trista. If he hits the over on yards, it will be the fifth greatest passing season of all time in Bears history. If he goes 3,376, that's the fifth best all-time single season of a Bears quarterback passing-wise. That's terrifying.
That is terrifying. So I don't know if you listen to the show, but I've coined, because I know that Eberflus calls it hard knocks, and I've decided to take a less aggressive, more sensual tone. And more like adjective-wise, is hard knocks. Hard knocks.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. How much do you think hard knocks will increase the expectations for this team? Because when I watched the Jets last year, not only did I think that Aaron Rodgers was one of the greatest leaders, most charismatic men I had seen, I thought that the Jets were going to win the AFC. That's what the editing skills of NFL films can do. So how much do you think it will increase the hype from the fan base?
I thought that Hard Knocks did a great job of making Aaron Rodgers look not just likable, but lovable. I thought that he looked like a really good teammate on Hard Knocks last year, and that is the power of editing. And that's why the Bears should look at this as an opportunity to extend their brand. I hate the fact that they haven't done it before. I'm hyped up. I'm going to do a podcast on House of L about this at some point this weekend. I just really like the idea of, since 2003, so 20-something years, I've been going to Hallis Hall, and I've been telling stories on the Score airwaves about Hallis Hall and the Bears. I love that now people who listen to the Score Bears fans overall are going to get a glimpse of that place. It's different because they used to hold training camp up until a few years ago, 60 miles south of the city in Bourbonnais. And Bourbonnais was a really cool, like, Bears fans reunion. But it wasn't Halas Hall. It was cool to be there. But now with them doing training camp at Halas, it allows for a lot of storytelling. And considering what you've got now on this roster, you have this photogenic, charismatic star quarterback that you're bringing in who's learning. Same thing with the new wide receiver. You have a team president that clearly loves the spotlight that's going to be a part of it. You have the weight of the Bears history, a charter franchise in the NFL. There's so much to draw from. You've got three players going into the Hall of Fame this year, and the Bears getting ready to play in the Hall of Fame game this season to kick things off. There's so many different directions they can go. They can use this as a bully pulpit for all the stuff that they want to do with the stadium, and they can use it as a selling point. Like, all of those things are available. They've also got some characters on that team. Jalen Johnson is a star. That guy, the camera is going to find him, and he's going to find the camera. Jaquan Brisker, who is on our show once a week, fascinating dude. The Tevin Jenkins on the offensive line, fascinating, fun guy. So there's a lot of different ways that they can go. And I'm glad that they said yes to this. They've been saying no for two decades. They didn't want people in their business. But now everyone's going to get to be in it, and they've got final cut. So they can make the Bears look as good as they want them to look.
Lawrence Holmes here on 670 The Score, from host of the Bernstein and Holmes Show, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 670 The Score. So I was saying this earlier, but it feels like for a very long time, the Bears have had, I don't know, like a lot of shade, but just kind of in the national spotlight, not a lot of it. How do you think now that you've got the Hall of Fame game, you've got the London game, you've got Hard Knocks, how do you think that changes things? And how do you think Bears fans, who I think have multi-generational trauma, are going to be dealing with this unprecedented amount of national press, considering that I think there's a chip on their shoulders from being ignored so long?
I think that the Bears have done a lot of this to themselves by them being incompetent in a lot of regards. Now it looks like, and we don't know this because it hasn't turned into wins yet, but it looks like Ryan Poles has done all of the things that you can ask a general manager to do if you're trying to get things on the right foot. He's made mistakes, but I think that overall, like, the overall grade you would give him after 2 years is very solid. Like, being able to fleece the Carolina Panthers the way that he did, how they ended up here with back-to-back number one high first-round picks, and being able to turn that into more picks and deeper players, the way that they've rebuilt this defense. But there are still some questions. Their defensive line is not as strong as I would like for it to be. I have questions about who's playing center, and that being a really important part of Caleb Williams' development, of having a strong center in front of him that is going to help with protection calls and sliding the protection and understand how the game can work. Now, I do think that Caleb's going to have that help from his wide receiver core. Keenan Allen is an absolute technician of a wide receiver. DJ Moore is a monster. It doesn't matter who's quarterbacking. That guy always produces, and you can just look at his statistics from what he was doing in Carolina when I think I played two games for the Carolina Panthers, and he still had 100-yard games. Like, he's that dude. So now you've done that. You've added some depth to your running back room. All of that, it looks like you've got your right tackle. I'm still questioning whether or not they have a left tackle. But Bears fans are going to live and die every week. Every week, even as much as I might tell them, Dan might tell them, you might tell them, just be cool. They're going to live and die every week with this team, and especially with Caleb and seeing kind of where he's at on the season. It's crazy. Like that's, but it's good too. I think the level of interest in the Bears is so high that selfishly, as someone who does content in that space, I love it. There are going to be more people tuned in to our show when you host on The Score. There are going to be more people tuned in to get reaction on what this team is and what happens next and all of this stuff. And it's great. My hope is that organizationally, the Bears can rise to the occasion. And I hope that every nice thing that we've said about the way that Ryan Poles has put this roster together can come true, and that we are talking about excitement. Like we were Tristan, last year we were joking about the idea of the Bears being at the bottom of the in the hunt column at the end of the season. Like, because I think it was up to like week 14 or 15, they were still technically in the hunt. What you love to see is the Bears be either inside of the playoff picture or right at the top of the in the hunt column, so that people can continue to tune in with hope of seeing a postseason and a postseason that actually means something. But I honestly, like, I'm really excited about it, and I'm trying to temper my enthusiasm because I know that we are an amplifier. So I don't want people to not really think about what they've seen throughout their lives and what they see in the NFL just because they're nice, shiny toys. The shiny toys are good. That's exciting. But give them an opportunity to get comfortable, and then let's see where things go.
Yeah, I agree with that. Tristan Crick here on 670 The Score here with Lawrence Holmes. I want to shift over to something that people are less excited about, something that this May has gone awfully wrong for the Cubs, as we know. I don't think it's time to panic yet. It's June. It's a new month. Last year,
Gemini season, Trista.
Yeah, it's Gemini season, baby. Things get sexy during Gemini season.
You're damn right sexy. They do.
It's warming up, baby. Tube tops are here. It's time for the bats to come alive for the Cubs. What do you think?
I'm concerned. And the reason that I'm concerned is it didn't feel like the Cubs did enough in the offseason. They brought back Bellinger, which was huge. I was a big proponent of them bringing him back. I think his vibe is just incredible. Like, just a good dude and a really good baseball player. And they got him at the price that they wanted. Well, so they didn't even have to go like a crazy extendo deal that they feel like is an albatross. They got the deal that they wanted with him. Their starting pitching is excellent. But even with a guy like Shota Imanaga, and here's how dominant that dude's been. He was so good that he had a blow-up start in Milwaukee where he gave up, what, 7 earned? And his ERA only went to 1.86. Like, that's gangster-type stuff from a starting pitcher to have a blow-up like that and still be one of the league leaders in ERA. Their lineup feels like a bunch of six-hitters that you're putting on the field, 9 six-hitters. And when you do that, these are some of the results that you get. Now, it wasn't like there were a ton of moves that they could have made in the offseason to augment the offense. So I get anyone that would push back and say, well, what did you want them to do? But I don't know if you can just trust that they're going to revert to the back of the baseball card. And as for last year, yeah, they were in the dumps last year and things turned around after their trip to London. They had to go on a historic tear to put them in a position to be a playoff team. And then when we got to September, they crashed and burned. Guys had been redlined. Now, I don't think that Craig Counsell is going to make some of the the same mistakes that David Ross did and maybe playing guys too much when you didn't have to. But they lost critical games in Colorado. They lost September games in Colorado.
I remember.
So it's that type of stuff that I think that people are scared about, and they should be. It just, the team seems unbalanced. They don't have a closer, really. And I know that there are different philosophies on whether or not you should have a closer or if you just need to have a bunch of really good high leverage pitchers. But as many baseball people as I've talked to, and I've been around examples of this, you might have a high leverage pitcher who is really good in the seventh or eighth. There is something different about the ninth. And while baseball is a game that is built up on us talking about the analytics and us looking at the numbers, and the numbers are the numbers no matter what, these are still human beings. The pressure of the ninth inning is a real thing. And I've seen multiple good relievers that when they are put out of their spot, don't react as well. But this team's biggest problem to me is they're not scoring enough runs. The good news is Ian Happ looks like he's starting to come around offensively. That's really good. I think that Christopher Morel has a chance to be a star one day in this league, and he's starting to barrel up some stuff. Everyone's got it. This is a team that needs everyone. They can't lean on one or two players. It just doesn't work that way. They don't have a player like that on their squad. There's no Shohei Ohtani. There's no Mookie Betts. There's no Fred. Wait a minute. That's three Dodgers in the same lineup. Huh. Just one of those type of guys would be great to have. But this is what you're competing with. Teams that have multiple guys like that. And the Cubs have a bunch of guys that can probably max out at four and a half wins above replacement, but no one that's probably a six or a seven. So that means that everything's got to be clicking. That whole lineup's got to be working in tandem. And so far, we haven't seen it.
Yeah, Cody Bellinger last year, 26 homers, 97 RBI. Ian Happ, 21 homers, 84 RBI. Dansby, 22 and 80. Saya, 20 and 74. Morel, 26 and 70. Nico Horner, 9 and 68. And Gomes actually was decent, 10 homers and 63. Yeah. He's obviously been horrible this year. But I guess the move that I wonder about is Pete Alonso. How real is that possibility to you? Because the Cubs haven't had a legit power hitter since Schwarbs hit 39 homers in 2019, and only the Giants have gone longer without a 30 home run player.
Well, I know the Mets, they had a players only meeting yesterday before their game, and Pete Alonso is still hitting bombs. You know, he's got 12 home runs so far this year. He'd be someone that would fit. It would help some things out. You could take Pete Alonso, you could put him at first base, you could just park him there. And then you could put Cody Bellinger at center field and just park him there. And then you're not worrying about scrambling. They've done a lot of scrambling. Craig Counsell, I think, has done a really good job of being like, okay, we're going to get this guy over here today, this guy over here. A guy like Pete Alonso, to me, I think he solidifies their lineup a bit. It gives it some stability and some pop and some fear in the middle of the lineup. And then you can kind of figure out how to build things around him. It's been rumored for, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years, that he ends up being a Cub. The Cubs farm system is filled with talent that people want. And depending on how you feel about this year, they might have to give away a prospect that people like if you think this team can be good enough to compete in the National League Central. But the fact, here's what I don't like. I don't like that, shout out to Chief Keith. I don't like that they were able to do all of this while the Cardinals have been down. As an organization, the Cardinals have been down. And now the Cardinals are starting to win, and I don't like it. Like, it makes me uncomfortable. And you look up today, and you see that the Cardinals are ahead of the Cubs right now, too. That shouldn't be the case. I think the Cubs roster, even right now, even with all the deficiencies that I've pointed out, I think they're a better roster than St. Louis. And the fact that you've let the evil empire, like, reform itself, and now they're a competitor, at least through the first third of the season. They're ahead of you. That's not good. The other thing, that Milwaukee team is plucky as hell. They play a style of baseball that I think a lot of Cubs fans would love to see the Cubs play. They are smart. They are aggressive. They do have good starting pitching. They also have injuries. The Cubs have talked about their injuries. The Brewers have a lot of injuries, and they're still doing it at a high level. There are some people who believe that they will come back to the pack, that they are not as good as what they look like on paper, but I am here to tell you that their style of baseball, if it looks familiar to Cubs fans, it should, because exactly what the Arizona Diamondbacks did last year. It's exactly how they played, and when you saw them play the Cubs, you saw the difference between those two teams. And the Cubs, I think, are still trying to catch up and play that type of ball, along with having some real boppers in their lineup.
I'm supposed to wrap, but I have one more question for you.
All right, I'll try to be short. I've been long-winded, and I apologize.
You mentioned the Brewers, and I think a lot of people thought when Craig Counsell came over that the Cubs would adopt some of those Craig Counsell philosophies and play like the Brewers. Why do you think that hasn't translated?
I think that he's still getting it together. I think Counsell's a really good manager. I think that he's been, to me, the only one that's been very, of Cubs like players and management, he's been very clear-eyed about what their problems have been. And that, to me, give me the guy that doesn't lie about it. Give me the guy that isn't trying to paint a rosy picture when things aren't going great. And so far, I've been impressed by his ability to, hey, we're not doing the things that we need to do. Or this player needs to earn playing time. They're not just going to be gifted it. There's a little entitlement that's been going on with this Cubs team. The way that Jed Hoyer talked a couple weeks ago, now he since then has been, I think, a lot more honest about it. But it came off as like, wow, y'all weren't even in the playoffs last year. Y'all talking big stuff for not being in the playoffs last year. And I think that the council's approach to it is a lot more of what I want and what I like about baseball managers. He's smart. He's consistent. He's fair. And if you got those things, you're in a good spot. Now it's just a matter of matching up personnel with what I think is a really good manager. And considering that he's the highest paid manager in the history of Major League Baseball, a lot of people would agree that he's the real goods.
Jed Hoyer's got some moves to make. My man, Loho, BBL Drizzy for the track. Lawrence Holmes here joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois Score Hotline. Join him, Bernstein and Holmes show from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every day on the weekday, 670 The Score. Lawrence, thanks so much for joining me, my guy.
Look, I'm trying to tell the Score listener right now, what you're listening to right now is the truth. Trista is the realness. Like, she is so great, and I'm glad that I'm looking at the text lines now that people are embracing her style and her vibe. She's good people. Listen to her. She's super interesting and super knowledgeable, and I'm very glad to be on your first show on the Score.
312-644-6767. Thanks so much for joining me, and we'll do it again sometime soon.
All right, homie. I'll see you later.
Thanks, homie. All right, we got to hit this break. Up next, I'll give my thoughts on the Cubs and why I don't think it's time to panic. 670 The Score. Trista Crick will be back right after this.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cody Bellinger batting. Listen to these fans. Bellinger hits a high fly ball, deep right field. Back goes Fraley. Now coming in, Fraley makes the catch, and the ball game is over. Bellinger gave it a ride, but the right fielder with a routine catch, and Cincinnati hangs on to beat the Cubs by a score of 5-4. What a crazy ninth inning.
Monday's Mully and Hall show will feature NFL Network reporter Stacey Dales filling in for Mully and joining David Hall. Tune in starting at 5:30 Monday morning as they'll be talking Bears and Chicago sports right here on The Score. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I'm going to tune into that on The Score and the free Odyssey app. I love Stacey Dales. She's freaking awesome. This is Trista Crick. You're listening to 670 The Score. You can find me at TRYSTA_KRICK on Twitter, Instagram, and at This Heat Check on TikTok. I don't know if you guys on the radio follow TikTok, but I always want to give you every option possible. We talked first hour all about the Bears. At 2 o'clock, we talked all about how I think the expectations are just way too high. Everything that's been going on in the past with the Bears, that's all old stuff. That's all your ex-girl. We've got the wifey here. If you didn't tune in for that, make sure to hit the rewind button on the app and listen to that. Just last segment, actually, at 3 o'clock, we had Lawrence Holmes on from Bernstein and Holmes. He gave us so much that I would be remiss to tell you to do that right this second, but like do it at some point because Lawrence was awesome. And I've got some thoughts now on the Cubs as well and about our conversation on what's gone wrong. Just for everyone probably already knows that the Cubs have lost their last 5 series. They are 2-8 over the last 10 games. So the question is it time for Cubs fans to panic? Like what the hell is going wrong? So I think we should rephrase that. And like it's Gemini season. It's now June. It's May is over. It's done, right? Like the spring flowers are here. It's getting humid. The weather's good. Like what's gone wrong with the Cubs in the month of May is over. That was an awful month in just about every way, unless your name is Shohei. But my outsider's take on the Cubs, and we have a real short segment, so we'll talk about this when we come back from break as well. People want to complain about the bullpen, and I don't think it's the bullpen at all. Like, the bullpen's not been good. It has not been good. But pitching's not really what has been the Cubs' problem in May. It's hitting. We know it's hitting. The bullpen exacerbates the poor hitting. And as much as we want to single out individual players, the truth is it's been like a cancerous thing. It's been like, I don't know if you've seen the movie Fallen with Denzel Washington, where he's, time is on my side. And then like the devil goes from one person to another. Like that's how the cold streaks of the Cubs have been, right? Like it's gone from Dansby to Gomes to Bellinger. And sometimes the devil's in them all at once, right? Like we got guys under the whole damn team, it feels like, other than Cody, is under the batting end of the Mendoza line. It's been a long, cold slow. We know that. Like we know that. You can't have 14 games in a month when you score one or fewer runs against the opposing starting pitcher. You just can't have that. The catcher position is batting 179 for the year, which is 29th in Major League Baseball. Only the Marlins are worse. Can't be in the same position as the Marlins. You just can't. Shortstop batting 194, last in Major League Baseball, tied with the Oakland, Sacramento, Las Vegas A's for dead last. Third base, 22nd in Major League Baseball. So you got 3 significant infield positions that the Cubs are in the bottom third in all of baseball. But to that I say, it's still not panic button time. I did a show on WFAN, was on the air last year, and that Yankee team feels very similar to this Cubs team. Great starting pitching. Bullpen at that point was struggling. And the difference is that they had Aaron Judge. The difference is that they had a guy that could put the team on their shoulders. And the Cubs don't have a player like this. And it shows. If you don't have a serious power threat in your cleanup spot, then you just don't have a player who can single-handedly win you games when the devil and the cancer drops into your lineup. Who on this team right now, if you were to guess, if you were just to say, I need one player to carry us in a slumping team for a week, I don't think you could say anyone. But if you want to hear something that should make you feel encouraged, let's talk about that after the break. 312-644-6767. because I've got some encouraging thoughts, statistics, and facts here to spit for you on a lovely Saturday afternoon in June. Trista Crick here on The Score here, 670. We'll be back right after this.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
670 The Score. This Tuesday, Parkin and Spiegel will be doing something that they've never done before. Ooh, what is it? Broadcasting live on the field at Wrigley. Wow. Parkins and Spiegel will be doing their show on the field from 2 to 6, and we'll be joined by Nico Horner, Craig Counsell, Steve Stone, and other special guests prior to game one of Cubs versus Sox. Oh boy, tune in Tuesday starting at 2 right here on The Score and the free Odyssey app. Again, the heat just keeps coming. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do my job because I'm going to be listening to The Score like wall to wall all next week. It's so great. Trista Crick here on The Score. We were just talking about this Cubs May, right? And if you missed that last segment, it was short. You could hit the rewind and listen to it, because I had a couple of stats in terms of how bad things are right now. Shortstop is abysmal. Like I said, it's dead last in Major League Baseball. It's tied with the A's. You've got bad production from your third base, 22nd in the league. The catcher position, 29th in the major leagues. Only the Marlins are worse, right? But why should you be encouraged? Well, I talked about this on the Fan, WFAN in New York, about the Yankees last year. And the Yankees were struggling in a way that was very similar to me as this Cubs team. Except for this Cubs lineup, outside of Aaron Judge, because you don't have a superstar, and we mentioned that. Outside of Aaron Judge, this Cubs lineup is much, much better than the Yankees. You have shortstop was abysmal with Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Harrison Bader was the only one delivering, and he ended up getting let go. You had four other guys under the Mendoza line. It was really ugly. And this team, I can tell you, is way, way better than this. Like I said with Lawrence Holmes in our interview at 3 p.m., you had Cody Bellinger with 26 homers and 97 RBI last year. Pretty damn good. Almost 30 homers. You have Ian Happ, who had 21 homers and 84 RBI. You have Dansby Swanson, who's definitely regressed a little bit, but he's still damn Dansby Swanson. 22 homers, 80 RBI. Suzuki, 20 homers, 74 RBI. Chris Morel, 26 homers, 70 RBI. Nico Horner, Yan Gomes even gave you 10 homers and 63 RBI. Talman, 48 RBI. So you had Patrick Wisdom, 46. You had up and down this lineup guys that were pretty solid. If you look at all of their hitting stats from last year, the team's really good. Like I said, you have no superstar, but it's solid. Last year, sixth in on-base percentage, eighth in OPS, sixth in RBI, sixth in run score. And I think, somewhat similar to what Jed Hoyer thinks, that that is the team that this actually is. I don't think that you just all of a sudden stink. I don't think that this team has lost their ability to make solid contact, to get on base. Dansby Swanson isn't just going to turn into an ass player. He's not going to be ass forever. Nico Horner is a good player. Chris Morel, still very young. You have one of the best young prospects in Michael Busch. And I don't think Cody Bellinger's production last year was just because he was on a one-year deal. Ian Happ, like I said, 21 homers and 84 last year. And Suzuki's just coming back from injury. So I think we should have a little patience with this team in Gemini season, especially considering that this team was in the exact same spot last year in May and ended up really making a push for the postseason. And then you add in other teams that have done similar things. The Phillies, 2 years ago in trouble for most of the year, and they end up in the wild card. They end up getting hot in September. They go on a run to the World Series. So you don't have to win the division. Cubs, everybody's getting a wild card spot these days. They're giving out wild card spots like Oprah gives out cars, folks. Like, all you have to do is just get hot down the stretch. So you have to decide, like, if you're a fan, was last year the anomaly or was this year the anomaly? Is this May what this team really is, or was the full last year what this team really is? Do you need a superstar? Absolutely. But slumps are normal. Month-long slumps, abnormal, but not enough time to panic, especially since batting averages, hitting statistics across the board in the entire major leagues are all down to historical lows. So for you, is it time for you to hit the panic button? Or do you want to see what June brings? Call me, 312-644-6767. Let me know your thoughts. Trista Crick here on The Score. We'll be back soon. We've got so much more to say. We've got NBA talk. I have things more to say about the Cubs because we've had short segments because Loho can't stop talking. But if you missed that segment with Lawrence Holmes, make sure to find it on the Odyssey app. Hit the rewind, and we will see you in just a second.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
670 The Score. This Tuesday, Parkins and Spiegel will be doing something that they've never done before. Ooh, what is it? Broadcasting live on the field at Wrigley. Wow. Parkins and Spiegel will be doing their show on the field from 2 to 6, and we'll be joined by Nico Horner, Craig Counsell, Steve Stone, and other special guests prior to game one of Cubs versus Sox. Oh boy, tune in Tuesday starting at 2 right here on The Score and the free Odyssey app. Again, the heat just keeps coming. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do my job because I'm going to be listening to The Score like wall to wall all next week. It's so great. Trista Crick here on The Score. We were just talking about this Cubs May, right? And if you missed that last segment, it was short. You could hit the rewind and listen to it because I had a couple of stats in terms of how bad things are right now. Shortstop is abysmal. Like I said, it's dead last in Major League Baseball. It's tied with the A's. You've got bad production from your third base, 22nd in the league. The catcher position, 29th in the major leagues. Only the Marlins are worse, right? But why should you be encouraged? Well, I talked about this on the Fan, WFAN in New York, about the Yankees last year. And the Yankees were struggling in a way that was very similar to me as this Cubs team. Except for this Cubs lineup, outside of Aaron Judge, because you don't have a superstar, and we mentioned that. Outside of Aaron Judge, this Cubs lineup is much, much better than the Yankees. You have shortstop was abysmal with Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Harrison Bader was the only one delivering, and he ended up getting let go. You had four other guys under the Mendoza line. It was really ugly. And this team, I can tell you, is way, way better than this. Like I said with Lawrence Holmes in our interview at 3 p.m., you had Cody Bellinger with 26 homers and 97 RBI last year. Pretty damn good. Almost 30 homers. You have Ian Happ, who had 21 homers and 84 RBI. You have Dansby Swanson, who's definitely regressed a little bit, but he's still damn Dansby Swanson. 22 homers, 80 RBI. Suzuki, 20 homers, 74 RBI. Chris Morel, 26 homers, 70 RBI. Nico Horner, Yan Gomes even gave you 10 homers and 63 RBI. Talman, 48 RBI. So you had Patrick Wisdom, 46. You had up and down this lineup guys that were pretty solid. If you look at all of their hitting stats from last year, the team's really good. Like I said, you have no superstar, but it's solid. Last year, 6th in on-base percentage, 8th in OPS, 6th in RBI, 6th in run score. And I think, somewhat similar to what Jed Hoyer thinks, that that is the team that this actually is. I don't think that you just all of a sudden stink. I don't think that this team has lost their ability to make solid contact, to get on base. Dansby Swanson isn't just going to turn into an ass player. He's not going to be ass forever. Nico Horner is a good player. Chris Morel, still very young. You have one of the best young prospects in Michael Busch. And I don't think Cody Bellinger's production last year was just because he was on a one-year deal. Ian Happ, like I said, 21 homers and 84 last year. And Suzuki's just coming back from injury. So I think we should have a little patience with this team in Gemini season. especially considering that this team was in the exact same spot last year in May and ended up really making a push for the postseason. And then you add in other teams that have done similar things. The Phillies, 2 years ago in trouble for most of the year, and they end up in the wild card. They end up getting hot in September. They go on a run to the World Series. So you don't have to win the division, Cubs. Everybody's getting a wild card spot these days. They're giving out wild card spots like Oprah gives out cars, folks. Like, all you have to do is just get hot down the stretch. So you have to decide, like, if you're a fan, was last year the anomaly or was this year the anomaly? Is this May what this team really is, or was the full last year what this team really is? Do you need a superstar? Absolutely. But slumps are normal. Month-long slumps, abnormal, but not enough time to panic, especially since batting averages, hitting statistics across the board in the entire major leagues are all down to historical lows. So for you, is it time for you to hit the panic button, or do you want to see what June brings? Call me, 312-644-6767. Let me know your thoughts. Trista Crick here on The Score. We'll be back soon. We've got so much more to say. We've got NBA talk. I have things more to say about the Cubs because we've had short segments because Loho can't stop talking. But if you missed that segment with Lawrence Holmes, make sure to find it on the Odyssey app. Hit the rewind, and we will see you in just a second.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.